In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the second half of this talk, Jesus says to Louisa, listen to me, my daughter. And this is why we say we're listening to Jesus as we read. He's teaching Louisa. And because we have received the book of heaven, Jesus is teaching us. Okay. So we are his children in the divine will, sons and daughters. And so he says, listen to me. In creation, and he says, this is the triune God's way, our primary purpose was mankind. The primary purpose for all of creation is Adam and Eve. He says, but instead of creating man first, Adam first, we created the heavens, the sun, the sea, the earth, the winds, as the dwelling in which to place Adam. And so as to let him find everything that was needed to make him live. So here, all of creation is given to us so that we are alive. This is the thing that's so amazing, that our God breathed into the dust his image and likeness so that we could live in his image and likeness. And Adam lived for that life for a short period of time, and then he decided to disobey. And echo Lucifer, I will not serve, I will not obey. And that's where we've been for the last 6,000 years. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus redeemed mankind, Our Lady co-redeemed with him. And yet that human misery, I will not serve, I will not obey, is still with us. And this is why we're baptized. We're baptized to no longer become sons and daughters of Adam, but sons and daughters of God, where that ontological change occurs. And now that Jesus has redeemed us, he says, now that mankind is redeemed, you're now baptized, you're in God's image. Now I'm calling you to enter into my likeness. And this is what he's saying, why he says, listen to me, I'm going to teach you the how and the why you're going to enter into God's likeness. Now, the saints, Jesus says, were not given this privilege because it wasn't time, just like it wasn't time for the men of the Old Testament, the women of the Old Testament to receive baptism, ontological change, or the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ, or to be confirmed, to receive any of the sacraments and sacramentals, because it wasn't time. Jesus hadn't come. And so when Jesus came to earth, Our Lady came to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve, they brought this universal life back into the hands of mankind, this universal life. And now 2,000 years later, Jesus says these last 2,000 years was a resting time for people to begin to understand how to live this universal life, how to possess this universal life. So he taught us through the saints how to do the will of God. And now because of Louisa, Jesus calls Louisa the newborn. He said, I've taught Louisa, my mother has taught Louisa this new and divine way of holiness that Pope John Paul II prophesied about, echoing the prayer of St. Honorable de Francia, who was basically Louisa's spiritual director. The spiritual director was Jesus, but he was the one that would say, okay, show me a little bit more of how this works, how and why. So in the notes, when we were in the Vatican, when we looked at the notes that were on the side of the page, volume 1 through volume 19, the question he would ask is, Louisa, does this refer to like volume 7 on May 17th? Does this refer to what Jesus was saying here? And then she would write, yes, it's more than that. It's da, 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 da. So she was really teaching St. Honorable de Francia this life. And that's why he took all the books when he got sick. And he says, I'm going to study this until the day I die. And he brought him to Messina and he died. And Louisa said to Jesus, you wanted to use him to publish all these writings, and he's only published 1 through 19 at this point. With the Nihil Apsta and the Imprimatur. She says, how is he going to complete his job? And Jesus says, it will happen in the kingdom. He's going to do more work as you, Louisa, are going to do more work after you die. This divine will is long, he says, and you're going to teach this continuously. Wait till you see what God has planned. It's so glorious. The world is never going to be the same. It can't be the same. For what Jesus teaches Louisa, it's a new and divine way of holiness. So he says, in the very creation of Adam, first we made the body, and then I, God, infused in him the soul. It is more precious than the body, more noble than the body, and containing more value than the body. So this, again, this is how to be Catholic is to recognize your soul. It's to enter. Now, Jesus is saying to us through Pope St. John Paul II, a new and divine way of holiness, how we're going to do this. Many times it is necessary to do minor things first in order to prepare with decency the place for our major works. It's the same thing with a building. You lay the foundation. It's underground. Nobody sees it. But that's the foundation of this building. As a matter of fact, get this. You're going to like this. You know, gematria. I'm not saying it. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. But 4 means foundation. 23 means chromosome. Now think about this. The foundation of the new era, the chromosome of the new era is 423. That's Louisa's birthday, 423. God is really getting everything ready. We're going to be really surprised to see how everything has been planned by God. Everything has been planned, even our own life. Everything that we've gone through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God has used to bring us to where we are today. And unfortunately, again, God is asking us to enter this universal life, to recognize the importance of our soul. Like he says, the soul is more precious, more noble, more containing, more value than the body. He says, humanity today is looking at the body. What did the Pope say? He said, people are spending more on cosmetics than even on nuclear weapons. More spending time on cosmetic. More people are spending more time, more money on food for animals than food for humans. Everything's out of order. Many times it is necessary to do minor things first in order to prepare with decency the place for our major works. What is the wonder then if in descending from heaven to earth, our primary purpose in our divine mind was to constitute the kingdom of our divine will in the midst of the human family? He says, this is what I had planned. And what humans are focusing on now, blinded by the beauty of the earth, is let's save the earth. No, let's save our souls. How do we do that? By total surrender to God. Docility, submission, surrender is what God is looking for so that he can accomplish what he has planned. This is what he's planned. He's redeemed us. Now what he's planned is to sanctify us. So Jesus says, more so since the first offense that Adam gave us was directed precisely against our divine will. Therefore, with justice, our first intent was to be directed to rejoining the offended side of our will, to returning to it its royal place. Adam was naked. He lost the clothing of divinity. Jesus is now saying, I'm going to reclothe you with divinity. I'm going to reclothe you with divine nobility as my true children, true children, sons and daughters of God. So what he's doing is he's giving us the book of how and when this is going to happen. And the more that we read this, the more we understand this is how God is going to do it. And when? Soon, sooner than we can imagine. This is what God has got planned. So he says, to return to its royal place. And after this, would redemption come? And redemption came, and indeed in a superabundant way with such excesses of love as to astonish both heaven and earth, but Why before? Because it was to serve, it was to prepare with decency and with decorum, with sumptuousness, with endowment of my pains and my mother's pains, my very death as kingdom, as army, as cortege, to let my divine will reign. Everything's prepared. Everything's prepared in this holy church. Everything is ready. It's not falling apart. God is giving everybody what they want. What do you want? The justice of God is we get what we want. That's frightening. If we don't want God 100%, that's frightening. He says, in order to heal mankind, my pains were needed. It took my death, Jesus said, to give mankind life. Yet one tear of mine, one sigh of mine, one drop of my blood would have been enough to save all of humanity, because everything I did was animated by my supreme will. So Jesus says, I didn't have to do this, but I did it to show humanity how much I love them. I can say that it was my divine will that ran with all my acts and my most harrowing pains to seek mankind again, to place mankind in safety. That's on the lap of the Father. How then can the prime purpose be denied to a will so holy, a will so powerful that embraces everything, and there is no life nor any good without it? Therefore, the mere thinking that this is absurd. So Jesus says, the prime purpose, Louisa says, well, how can the divine will reign? Jesus says, that's absurd. The divine will is going to reign. The divine will is going to bring mankind back to where it is. He says, don't even think like that. You see, we have to believe in God so much. Like, why? What's the final thing, that final devotion that Jesus gave to his church? He said to Faustina, the final devotion is Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. That's why we go to the Holy Eucharist. We spend time in front of the sacrament because he is our everything. Why? He's going to bring everything back in order for those who want it. So I, God, want you, Louisa, and us linked to Louisa, to recognize the divine will in all things as prime act of everything. Okay, so this is the reason why we're talking about the prime act. He wants us to enter into this prime act. In this way, you shall place yourself in our divine order, that there is nothing in which we do not give primacy to our holy divine will. This is what he's given to us, the primacy of living in the divine will. This is so astonishing. Volume 33, 520, 1934. The soul who lives in my divine will, I, God, feel heaven flow in her acts. I feel heaven flow in her love. I feel heaven flow in her will. And I feel the creature in heaven and her acts all love in her will, investing the imperium of evading, all forming one single act, one single love, one single will. We're entering into the prime act of God. Again, this is not human. This is divinely human, if you want to say. This is sharing in the divine life of Jesus, the divine life of Mary. And this is what he's asking. He's asking us, are you willing to let go of everything that is human to embrace the divine? And when we say yes, he goes, good. I'm going to show you how to do this. That's why when we make this vow to God to live in his divine will, vow to victimhood, we're not going to give life to our life anymore. I don't want to be in charge anymore. I want you, Jesus, to be in charge. I'm not going to give life to my passions. I don't want them. I want you, Lord, to be my everything. And then finally, I don't want to give life to living in the world. I want to now live in heaven while on earth. This is what Jesus is waiting for from us, forming one single act, one single love, one single will. This is so great. And the whole of heaven feels loved. The whole of heaven feels glorified in the soul who wants to live in the divine will. Hopefully that's us. And the soul feels loved by all of heaven. See, this is, we are running into things that are oppressive. And Jesus says, no, that's not my life for you. My life for you, he says, is to feel loved, divinely loved, feel glorified, divinely glorified. He says, feel loved by all of heaven. Nothing on earth can overwhelm us into negativity, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. Nothing can oppress us if we're striving to live in the divine will. Because as soon as that oppression comes near you, it's no, God is in charge. He loves me. He died for me. He redeemed me. Now he wants to sanctify me. Nothing is going to bother me. And we're going to go through trials. Again, what did Jesus say? He said, there will be a divine chastisement, which will basically destroy most of humanity. We might be seeing that right now. But what does he say about that? He says, my mother is marking all my children and no harm can come to them. And then he says, all the little children of the Holy Divine Will who are marked by my mother, that chastisement has little or no effect upon them. And then finally, the fourth thing, he says, the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Why? They're already beginning to live heaven on earth. Nothing can affect them. Nothing. You have to understand, Jesus, he has to do this. What do you want? I have to give to you. What do you want? If we say we want the kingdom of God, he goes, good, I will give it to you. What do you want? Well, I want power, prestige. I want money. I want fame. I want fortune. That's what you get. But it's going to be gone. It's going to go the way of the world. You sure you want this? And when people say yes, God goes, then I have to give it to you. That's terrifying. Jesus is saying to us, what do we want? We're saying, I want your kingdom. I want this great gift of the divine will. God goes, good, you're going to have that. We live a peaceful, joyful life. This is what God is asking of us. He's asking us to get ready. And this is why he says, very, very clearly, he says to us, as soon as I can find it, in my divine will, everything is unity. Everything is one with God. Separability does not exist, nor does any distance between places or times. There's no time or space in the divine will. You can go to Cana. I love Cana. When you're in Cana, you can watch the whole party. You can watch Our Lady. You can watch Our Lord. You can listen to the crowd. You can see her hiddenness. You can see his hiddenness. And yet, as mother, as queen, she says to him, there's no more wine. And he goes, what's this got to do with me? I mean, you could actually be there. It's again, there's no separability. And he says, there's no places or times. Our Lord, this is the beauty of the divine will. In your mind's eye, you can be there. And to the point of actually leaving time and space to be with our Lord. You're gonna experience this. He says very, very clearly, he says, centuries disappear in my volition. And with its power, it devours everything. Everything becomes peaceful, joyful, and happy. In one single breath of everything, it makes one continuous act, the prime act of God. There's no time or space. Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, she said, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong. The devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space, never to enjoy the beatific vision. That's for us. Again, Jesus is saying, begin to live this now. Don't wait until you die. You're going to spend a long time in purgatory if you wait to die, to believe this, to live this. He says, if you can live it now, he says, there is no purgatory for you because you've let go of all worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. He's offering this to us. And it's here for us. As we read, as we study, Volume 33, 7, 8, 1934, the divine volition seems to be constantly watching me with a searching eye. This is the eye of God to see what, and again, the flames of hell mimic the light of heaven. The eye of God is a symbol of the Catholic Church. The Illuminati stole it. The flames of hell always mimic the light of heaven. But see what you, the divine eye is what Sister Mary Ephraim embraced in the divine, can't think of the word, but anyways, she embraced this, and that's an approved apparition of our Lady. It's got the Nihil Apsa on it. The eye of God was seen by the children at Garabandal in the sky. It's the power of God that the evil one wants. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by mimics. Go to the truth. The truth is found in the Catholic Church. The divine volition seems to be constantly watching me with a searching eye to see whether its adorable will flows as prime act in the whole of my interior. Is it there? Jesus says. And with an admirable and divine jealousy, it invests everything. It surrounds everything, nor does it look at whether the act is small or great. It can be an eye blink. But it looks at whether it flows, in it flows the life of the divine will. Is it done within, through, and for God, as Jesus taught Louisa? Is it the life that Adam had before the fall? Is it the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary? In fact, all the value and the greatness of an act depends on whether the divine will is present inside of it. That's why we always say, I'm going to do this in the divine will. You answer the phone. I'll pray in the divine, listen in the divine will, talk in the divine will, talk in my talking, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. We want to do everything in the divine will. Well, how many times do you have to say it? You have to say it until you live it. Lord, I want to breathe in my breathing in the divine will. I don't want to breathe anymore. Beat in my heart beating, dream in my dreaming, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. Everything else, as great as it might be, is reduced to a veil extremely thin, just as to cover and hide the great treasure, the incomparable life of the divine will. God loves us tremendously. He's got great plans for each and every one of us. Read. People love to ask questions. What about this? And before you answer, what about this? And another guy, what about this? Another guy, what about? Jesus says, read the book of heaven and your answers. All your questions are answered. This is why Jesus is saying, everything else, as great as it might be, is reduced to a veil, extremely thin, just enough to cover and hide the great treasure, the incomprehensible life of the divine will that God wants us to live in. His will, image and likeness. 33, 7, 20, 1934. I was thinking to myself, I too occupy the space of the void of creation, and I can say that I am at my place, wanted by God. So does my divine will do always one single act of the will of God as all creation does? My blessed daughter. Now Jesus is talking to us. This is our question. Every question that Louisa has, Jesus said at the end of Louisa's life, Louisa said to Jesus, Jesus, I'm so sorry for all my questions so far. Sorry for all my doubts. And Jesus said, Louisa, you never questioned. You never doubted. What's this whole, and people say, she questions. She's always arguing with Jesus. I said, that's us. Jesus said to her at the end of her life, Louisa, you never questioned anything. You never doubted anything. The questions you have were those who are going to read this book. And I gave them to you, Louisa, so that I could answer you, so that they could be answered. Now think about that. What is the grief that we put Louisa through with our doubts, our worries, our anger? Yeah, sure, that's true. Where about, what about this? What about that? That was given to Louisa. And Louisa gave it to Jesus, and Jesus said, Louisa said, look, this is what it is. Louisa put it down on paper for us. That's why he says, any questions you have are answered in the book of heaven. Read. Don't ask questions. Read. Study. Give me. I want my hamburger right now. I want it right now. No. Let's stop that. Let's read. And Jesus is speaking to us. We started out with, listen, my daughter. Listen to me. My blessed daughter, everything that comes out of our supreme being is all innocent and holy, nor could anything be, anything being or thing with the slightest stain, not containing the unity of a good, ever come out of our divine sanctity and infinite wisdom. That's what's happening when you read the book of heaven. That's why when you read the book of heaven, you just go, wow, that was unbelievable. Why? There's no slight stain in this. As a matter of fact, Archbishop Piccieri said, anyone who says that there is flaws in the writings of Louisa, he says, they're not reading the book. There's no flaws in it. Jesus says it very clearly. There's nothing with the slightest stain. Why? Because it contains the unity of a good that ever comes out of our divine sanctity, of our divine wisdom given to humanity. Those are Jesus's words. I believe it. I mean, there's knots. One of the things that Archbishop Piccieri said was there's knots in the writings. He says, but all we have to do is ask Our Lady to untangle them. That's exactly what the Pope said too. Untangle these knots so that we can understand clearly. See, he says, sometimes what I tell you, Louisa, is so bright that it is so brilliant that your eyes can't take it until you live in the docility, the surrender, the submission. And then when you read it, you go, oh, see, that happens a number of times when you come to a wall in the divine will. You look at it and you go, I've got a pea brain. You're going to have to explain this to me, Lord. And then 3-4 pages down the road, you turn the page and there's the answer. And you go, wow, it's so simple. The divine will is so simple. It's love. It's the love of a parent to the little daughter. It's the love of the parent to the little son. That's what this is. Volume 33, 10, 7, 1934. Oh, my divine will, what power you cast in the soul into what a labyrinth of love. The one who lives in you is the one who receives this power, this labyrinth of love. We get lost in it. It is such and so great that the human littleness feels drowned with divine love. And as a refreshment, the soul feels the need to trace everyone, to speak her continuous refrain, I love you, I love you, I love you. Every leaf on a tree is an I love you to us. And he said that to Louisa. He said, Louisa, what do you see in the leaves of the trees? He says, I see your I love you, and I see Our Lady's I love you. And Jesus said to Louisa, where's your I love you? That's what he says to us. Where's your I love you in every leaf of a tree? She says, I want that. And instantly the tree was covered. All trees were covered. From the beginning of time to the end of time, all the trees were covered. Why? Her desire did it. And that's what Jesus is saying. Where's your I love you? What does she say? She says very, very clearly, she says, I need to trace this I love you on everyone, every human being, past, present, and future, to speak her continuous refrain to God Almighty, I love you, I love you, I love you. As the outpouring of the great love that my divine will gives to the soul, it's the echo of God. God says to us, I love you. We get back to God, our I love you, which is Jesus. He's the one that can divinely love God. And so we breathe in this I divine I love you to breathe back God's divine I love you back to God. Everything changes in the divine will. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. There's no sin. It's I love you. It's back to God. This is life of ours. This I love you. He says, this is all of love. This is our history woven, ab eternal, all of love. And so must be the soul who lives in our divine will, all of love. The divine will is returning back to heaven while on earth. May your kingdom reign on earth, this dust as it is in heaven. There is such, listen to this, there is to be such accord between the soul and us, triune God. as to form one single act, one single love. It's not misery anymore. It's love. Entering into God, participating into God. 5:33, 10:21, 34. You must know that one of the most beautiful characteristics that my divine will possesses by nature as its legitimate property and virtue is spontaneity. Children are spontaneous. Children are spontaneous. And it's so delightful to watch a child just be a child. You must know, Jesus said, that one of the most beautiful characteristics my divine will possesses by nature, its legitimate property, its virtue, is spontaneity. Return this I love you back to God. If somebody says to you, tell them you love them. Oh, I love you. That's not spontaneous. When we look at the tree and see the leaves, we look at the sky and see the blue and the clouds. When we look at the ocean and say, I love you. That's what God wants to see. He wants to see the spontaneity, this return of all the I love yous in creation, the return of all the I love yous in redemption. That is sanctification. This respond back to God, this echo back to God. Everything is spontaneous in the divine will. If the divine will loves, if the divine will operates, if one, with one single act and gives life and preserves everything, it makes no effort, nor does it let itself be begged by anyone. Its motto is, I want, therefore I do. It's, I love you, I love you, I love you. I want this, therefore I do it. When in nature, St. Thomas Aquinas says, we see the love of God in all of nature. Begin to see it, begin to hear it, begin to smell it, begin to taste it, begin to touch it. There's all the I love yous that are around you. Live paradise while on earth. Live heaven while on earth. I want, therefore I do. It's all responding with, I love you, I love you, I love you. 5:33, 5:26, 1935. I continued my abandonment in the divine volition. I prayed it to the divine will to pour itself into my poor soul and to make me rise again, regenerated fully in the divine fiat. I want nothing less than going back to breathing in this rule of God as God breathed into Adam. But more than that, to breathe in the breath of Jesus, to breathe in the breath of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Oh, how I wish to be one single act of the divine will, never to be separated. My daughter, you are present and run in all of our divine works. Our divine being brings you everywhere. We remain confirmed in you. That's what we want. We want God to be confirmed in us. In an exchange of acts of the life takes place, the creature in the creator and the creator in the creature, as the soul becomes the repeater of the divine acts, likeness of God. All the I love yous in creation, we have to take them in and then give them back to God, repeating what God has done with his divine I love you. 5:34, 12:29, 19:35. Now the creature holds her royal place, her act in the unity of our single act. And therefore, if the soul loves, she loves in our divine unity. If she adores, if she blesses us, it is inside our unity. This is the rounds. I adore you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I worship you. We've entered into this. If she loves, she loves inside our unity. If she adores, if she blesses inside our divine unity, if she comprehends us, she does so with our divine unity. It's God who's doing this in us. If she sees, does, and feels nothing outside of us, but everything inside our divine being, she can say, I do not know, nor do I love, nor do I want to know anything but the divine will alone. You see what God is teaching us? Jesus says, I want to take you away from holy things, from good things, from saintly things. And when we first hear this, we go, no, you're not. No, this is my life. And Jesus says, no, I want you to enter into divine reality. If the soul sees, does, and feels nothing outside of us, but everything inside our divine being, she can say, I do not know, or no, I do, I love, no, I want anything, but in what's inside of God, the divine will alone. That's the unity that keeps me enclosed inside God. Jesus becomes our tabernacle. This is what Jesus is teaching us. My daughter, our supreme being possesses one single act, and therefore the whole of creation and all creatures are nothing other than the effects of the unity of our act, and therefore the human will, unified with our divine will, that's what we want, becomes our continuous effect. Do you know what this means? Giving away, giving always to the creature, and receiving always from the soul. He breathes into us, we breathe into him. It's his I love you, not ours, not a human I love you. That's why he wants to free us from the holy things to give us the divine. Where that drop of water put into the chalice filled with wine. What does the soul, what does the priest say? May we share in the divinity of Christ. As Christ humbled himself to share our humanity, he breathes into us. We take this life and breathe it back to him. It's his life in us. It's his love in us. 534, 614, 1936. What makes one the happiest is to see and feel everything is divine will. That's our happiness. The whole of creation forms one single act of the supreme will of God. It's the fiat. It's the prime act of God. Fiat lux. It's all around us. We have to begin to see paradise now. We have to begin to live heaven now. My blessed daughter of my divine will, you must know this. Between the created things and us, there is the respiratory act. We admit the breath, okay, so he breathes out, of our will, and creation receives it. And admitted it again, it gives us the breath that we have given it. He breathes into us so that we can breathe into God. That's the likeness of God, because Jesus is doing it. We can't do divine acts. We're human. But Jesus wants to reign in us so that he can do it in us. He says, we admit the breath of our divine will and the creation receives it. It's all in the creation all around us. And admitting it again, it gives us the breath. But Jesus says, I want you to be the voice of all the creation. It gives us the breath, and we have given to it. That is, all the effects of our divine will, breathed by the divine will, has produced. It unites with our one and single act of God, the prime act of God. How much glory, how much honor do we not receive by receiving ourselves again? How extolled is our supreme being, not because we let our divine will be breathed by all creation and gives it back to us the breath we gave it. There is such unity of will with all creation that everything that comes out of it enters back into it, forms one single act of the supreme will. The multiplicity and diversity of the things that can be seen and take place are nothing other than the effects that our one and single act produces. The fiat lux. We're participating in it, in all of creation, all of redemption. And that's what sanctification is. We're giving back to God what is God's. In fact, our fiat never changes, nor is it subject to mutating. All of its power lies precisely in this, to do one single act in order to produce all possible and imaginable effects. Enter into that prime act of God. That's when we do our prevening act in the morning. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to give back to him what is his. And what does that do? That one single act, that prime act of God, produces all the possible imaginable effects that God wants to see in us. He's doing it. This is the greatest time to be alive. 534. 11:3, 1936, daughter of my volition, listen to me. He says it again. Pay attention to me. This is the book of heaven. I want to tell you of the act most beautiful. I want to tell you of the act most tender. I want to tell you of the act of love most intense of my fiat. So again, it depends on our disposition. Do we want this? If we say yes, Jesus says, prove it. Are we reading? Are we studying? Are we putting this into practice? Are we spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Are we going to Holy Mass or receiving the Holy Eucharist? Are we going to confession? Are we turning our life back to God? Jesus says, prove it. Now, you must know that all the acts, the thoughts, the words, past, present, and future, are all present before the Supreme Being. And therefore, the creature did not yet exist in time, and her acts were dazzling before us. God knows what we're called to do from the beginning of time. This is why he says, I'm going to make a divine masterpiece out of each of my children. My divine masterpiece out of each of my children. And why is this? Because the prime act of the creature done by my fiat, there is not one thought, not one word, not one work that my fiat does not initiate. It's one with God, fused with God and his holy divine will. It can be said that the creature is formed in God first and all of her acts, and then we issue her, the soul, to the light of the day. The soul is born. Wait till you see how we really live. That's the thing that's coming. Volume 34, 110, 1937. My divine will is all eyes, almost on the lookout to see when the creature is about to do a little act, an act of love, a breath, a heartbeat, an act of love, in order to invest it with the power of the fiat and say to her, I have done my work for you and you must operate for me. Do you see, this is not about being good and holy and saintly. It's sharing in divinity. The fiat says to us, I have done my works for you and you must operate for me as Adam did in the beginning, as Jesus did, the new Adam, as Mary did, as the new Eve. Therefore, what you have done is mine. It is my right, just as my works are your right. It's a marriage. There's no more you and me. It's ours. These are the laws of the living in my divine will. Yours and mine cease on both sides. They form one single act and possess the same goods. It's the wedding feast. It's heaven. This is what God is getting ready for us. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's right around the corner. And he's asking us, do you want this? He says, I'm ready to give it to you as much as you want or as little as you want. You can have 30, 60, or 100 fold. What do you want? Jesus keeps on saying to us. When we get to the point of saying, I want what you want, God goes, good. Watch what I'm going to do. Well, then here we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.